This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another anticipated episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the prophetic Richard Early.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Rich.
Prophetic's way better than pathetic. Oh, wait,
no. Wait, what did I say?
Yeah. Well, this month on the Doxcast, we've looked back at 2019. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And hey, kudos to us. We actually did talk about Star Wars without devolving into minutia about Star Wars.
That's true. Yeah. There was one point where I did bring up one thing, but it was all part of a larger explanation of my introduction and my what I find special about Star Wars. So I think I'm the one to blame if you have a problem with that. But I think for the most part, you're right. I think we had a very good discussion with a lot of different viewpoints, which made for a good podcast.
And we all agreed.
So this one
on Star Wars still being special.
Yeah,
yes.
We did actually.
We did.
Yeah. So this episode this week, and if you're watching, you know, we record these live in chunks, and we put one out every Monday, so if you're watching tonight, welcome back to our third episode, final episode of the night. Welcome back, Darren Gregson.
Hello.
Brad Meissner.
That's me.
John Leighton.
How's it going, everybody?
And this episode, you know, we looked at the past, we talked about Star Wars, so it's time to speculate. It's time to do what people on the internet love to do, which is wildly speculate about stuff we know nothing about. So here we go, 2020.
Fantastic.
I'm looking at you, 2020. By the way, is this the year of Barbara Walters or what? Like, this is like, she's got to be like, damn, I've been waiting for this year for my whole life, right?
I feel like maybe she's been dreading it. Like, this is, when we get to 2020, everyone is going to be on that. That's going to be memes. It's just going to be...
just think about memes.
Just this all year, the memes.
This year's got to be trademarked by ABC.
I don't know. Well, yeah, everybody is... Is she there for Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, where once the ball drops, she can be like, and this is 2020. I mean, maybe, but where's this year that she dies? We're all like, oh, she'd been predicting it her whole life.
Yeah. Oh, God.
She's a precog and we didn't know it.
This has, okay, seriously, this has nothing to do with anything, but like, remember, like, was it like 2018 where there's like a bajillion, or 2017, whichever year, there's like a bajillion celebrity deaths?
Yeah.
Were there less than 2019, right? Like, does it just seem that way? Because that one year was like insane, right?
I think, yeah, there's, what, that was the Rickman year, right? Alan Rickman?
I think so.
Wasn't it? Because, yeah, it was like, what, Rutger Howard was a big one for like 2019, sort of, but that's for sci-fi nerds.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have, like, yeah, well, I think the internet just comes to an end when Betty White dies, because it's just like, no, we're just done. And then if Keanu Reeves dies somehow in the same year, be like, well, that's it. We're canceling the internet. Have fun at home, kids.
$10 says, when Betty White dies, there are no fewer than 20 memes with her as a force ghost.
Probably.
One of my ideas, instead of a speculation show, by the way, is, and do we? I don't know if I said this, or we said this in the production that we're talking about, but like, is to do a show... We should do the 2020 year in review show as though, and then at the end of the year see how we did. You know, I think that would be awesome.
Talk about the things we were excited about in 2020 before it happened.
Yeah, right. We're just like, oh, we're looking back at 2020, right? And then we play it at the end of the year and just sit, and we sit here going, oh my God, you were, you know.
The thing that would happen there is we'd probably make some very outlandish claims. Thinking, like, this is hilarious, right? We're going to look back on this, and man, remember when we made those jokes, but then, like, most of them will be 75% true, at least. And we're going to go, man, remember when we were joking about that? That seems so just out of place now.
KeyForge bounced back and became the biggest game in the history of the board game market. we're gonna look ahead at 2020. Instead, which I do think this is hilarious and we should consider it. But anyway, here's the thing. It would take too much work. None of us are actually willing to...
Well, you could just make it up.
I could make up stuff.
The most fun you've ever had. Just make it up. Literally.
Guys, do you remember D&D for Dogs in January? Man, it just got the year off to a great start. We had 400 people and raised $7,000 and, you know.
You don't have the room for any of that.
It forced us to move into our new location where we are now. That is over 26,000 square feet. I don't understand square feet in relation to...
Also, our... This episode is now exclusive to our top tier Patreon level, and
right. We're not recording this on TikTok.
Anyway, when
Vine made a comeback, guys, and now we're releasing podcasts in 7-second increments
every Monday. The next 7 seconds of the podcast. So,
yeah,
2020. I think we sort of talked about how we'll do this. We'll talk about like different. We're going to talk about the store, things we know we've got coming up. We're going to talk about, I mean, let me lay the groundwork a little bit that way, and then let's talk about board games first. But one of the things that I've tried really hard to do with Paradox, you know, we in 2017, we celebrated 25 years, and in this year, we remodeled the store, we built the website. But, I think the thing, and along the way, we developed a philosophy. The philosophy that was always there, but we were able to put it into words, which is that we really believe that this shop and shops like ours, they exist to help change people's lives. And it's not like some big altruistic, that's all we're here for. Yeah, we're trying to sell you comic books, and we're trying to sell you board games. But this is where you find your people. This is where you learn that it's okay to be you. You can do it here, you can do it at conventions, so on and so forth. But I mean, I think that's a really guiding philosophy. And so coming out of these last 2 years, the thing that has to happen in 2020 is we got to put that all together now. Because, like, honestly, the results haven't been exactly what I would have expected them to be. Like, coming off a remodel, coming off all these things, I would have expected our results to be better than they are. Now, maybe that means, maybe they're hidden. Maybe the fact that we did those things means we're getting the results we're getting, you know. It's impossible to know, right? But I think we really need to marry together the things we talk about and the things we've built and make sure that we're executing those in a way that we never had. A prime example is Tabletop Night / Game Day. And we've talked about this a lot, how we realized over the last 18 months that what we created in 2011 with Tabletop Night was not enough anymore. And so we tried Game Day. That doesn't mean to sound past tense as it just did. You know, we transformed it to Game Day. Game Day is it's a more open environment. It's a more open name. It still has Tabletop Night, but now it offers a lot more, right? So that's an example of the change that we want to bring. But in order to do... But the other thing we realized, Josh talked about this in the 2019 podcast, and I totally agree with him. This year's Extra Life was actually a renewing experience for me. It was one of my favorite Extra Lives. But there were probably... the same or less, there were less people as we used to get in the big days for Extra Life. There might have been about the same as 2018. You know, so what we realized is we have a core of good people. Not just our core is good. I want to be careful here, you know. But we have a core of people who like to do these things, but they like to do them, you know, monthly game day is, hey, come down, hang out with your friends, right? That was one thing in 2011. It's another thing in going into 2020. And so what Extra Life kind of taught us was what people do like to do is get together for a purpose. You know, they to be part of something. And so in 2011, being a part of something meant coming to this room and hanging out. But you did that a lot. And you do that a lot at home. And you do that a lot at CoreCon or ValleyCon or the cons you go to around the country. So what we're going to try to bring is more purpose to the event, so it's not just Extra Life isn't the only thing that we're waiting to do that has that has that meaning to it or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of how we're kicking off the year, and along with that, we're trying to plan in a very long term way so that we can deliver these events with a little more oomph. Like we've got one of the first things we're doing this year is on a Monday night, we have an Extra Life marathon planning meeting. Now, we're not going to plan the whole marathon. We're not going to, if you miss out, you're done. You know, all it is us saying, we know we need to put a little new energy into here, and we're hoping to hear some ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So that, like, for instance, that's the type of way we want to approach this year. So, I don't know, Josh, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No, bringing up game day and tabletop night and all that stuff, you know, we've had a lot of different meetings, a lot of conversations, and we've tried, you know, a number of things, some with a great degree of success and some with a more minor degree of success. And we're taking that and we're learning from it. And I think we have a lot of really good events that are in the planning stages right now for 2020 for tabletop related things. And yeah, it's going to be, you know, we've always been about community and the idea of bringing the community together. And you make a really interesting point that in 2011, bringing the community together meant letting people know there was a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we had that tabletop night, and after a few months, we suddenly had 150, 200 people. Like, there were nights where it was just huge. It was just ridiculous in here. I remember one specific where we had tables all turned a specific way, you know, so that we could maximize space, and there was not even a table's worth of distance in between the tables. Like, I had to go and squeeze in to get to a table so I could play a game with some people. And that was, I mean, really uncomfortable, but it was really amazing to see. And now people know the community exists. They have their community. They have their friends. Why are you coming out to Paradox then to play your games? And it's something that we've been puzzling over and trying to really nail down for, I mean, for years even. But creating something bigger, you know, making it so that people can be some part of something bigger than themselves is the next logical step. And we've got some really good stuff coming. And Aaron Sparks in the chat has very specifically spelled out Relay. She very much wants more
Relay.
Board
yeah.
game Relay yeah. races, yeah. which was something we did. And yes, more of those are coming. So... So yeah, I'm very excited for 2020 and the things that we're going to do with Game Day, how that's going to evolve, and yeah, and just seeing what we can do there.
John, right away, right off the bat, January 25th and 6th, we hit the ground running with this idea, right? We're doing our second ever D&D for Dogs. Why don't you tell us what's on, you know, what is D&D for Dogs and what are we doing?
D&D for Dogs is our two-day weekend event where we'll play D&D, and we are raising money for Love of Dogs Rescue, which is a local rescue organization. And we are going to be, with the release of the new Eberron campaign setting book, we are going to be running through the entire Tier 1 Eberron Adventure League adventures, as well as having the Eberron Epic that Saturday evening as well as our kind of our big anchor event. And then on Sunday, we're also going to be opening it up to people can contact us, and we'll have people running their own style games, possibly some Pugmire, some Dungeon Call Classics, and anything else that people can contact us about to run.
Yeah, so I mean, we started planning that. I mean, we knew we were going to pick January a long time ago, and we started meeting in September and October to get it figured out, and that's January, and March 7th we're doing an event that's near and dear to my heart. We're going to be doing our first ever gaming event that's in support of the National Federation of the Blind in North Dakota. And so we're going to do a combination of things. Some of it's just, it will be game day, come and participate. But we're going to be doing some fundraising through a new technique that we're going to implement there. But we're also going to have accessible things, accessible games to be played by and with blind and low vision people. We're working on things from 64-ounce games. Mm-hmm. We're working on games that are variations of things like Uno and Scrabble that just happen to also have Braille and things like that. So it's going to be a combination of things, but you're going to get some really personal pitches from me, you know, since A, I'm the fundraiser, and you guys got to help me make me look good here. But no, you know, but we got a lot of things we want to do. So there's just two examples right away. And I mean, Josh, we're mm-hmm. brewing up several other things as well, and you've already got mm-hmm. Extra Life 2020 ideas. And
yeah,
so yeah, I mean, this is what we're going to try to bring.
Yep, absolutely. You know, this is going to be a very good year for being a part of the tabletop community. You know, and people, obviously, you don't feel like you have to donate to every single thing to be a part of it. Because I know there are a number of different things competing for your time, things competing for your money, but just being a part of it, you know, coming down and playing games with us, like you're saying, the event we're planning with the NFB, obviously, yes, we hope that people will donate money, because that all goes to a very good cause. But I love the idea, and we just had a planning meeting about this just last night. The idea of kind of opening up that world, you know, encouraging people who are blind or have low vision to say, hey, you can be a part of this. Here's the thing, you know, don't feel like you can't do this. And then also for those of us who are sighted and maybe don't think as much about, I didn't really think about it much until we had that meeting, and just thinking about how much I rely on my sight to play these games. And what is this going to be like when we get those accessibility kits and are able to play, you know, because Rich, I played some games with you, and you've got some tools and things that you use, but it's very, very cool, and that's opening up that community and making it something bigger than it has been, and encouraging people to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, I got to say the two words I always say, but you know, the key thing, if you know somebody in your family that's suffering from vision loss, or you yourself are, there's two words that apply, which are low expectations. You tend to, you know, if it's Thanksgiving, you tend to not have them help do any of the cooking or table setting or cleaning or things like that. And you do those with the best of intentions. You know, nothing there is being done to harm someone. It sounds like a very nice thing. But the problem is that it's sort of inbreeding a sense that, well, I can't do those things. You know, I can't help with the table. I can't. And the more of that that's set up, the more you don't believe in yourself, and the more you feel like people don't believe in you and that you have the ability to do things. So, yeah, the ability to play a game using a magnifier, it's no different than someone who's kind of short grabbing a stool to grab something from the top shelf. It's literally the same thing, right? Yeah. And none of us would hesitate if we were too short to get that thing, get that stool. But a lot of blind people will hesitate to bring a cane out in public or to bring out that magnifier. And that's something I hope this event can show our community. And I hope our community will want to be a part of this for what it means to me. And there you go. So super excited.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing with board. We'll talk it again. We're going to go to a couple of things, but we'll come back to some of the board games we're looking forward to, I think. Right?
Yeah.
So, Brad, this is going to be a little... Yeah, John, did you... This is slightly out of your... Well, not that much, but like, you know, talking about long-term planning, the next thing that I've done is I've tried to take our... You know, we're a WPN premium store now, and that we need to take that with more responsibility, and we need to live up to that. You know, it's a challenge to us to live up to the best that we can be to give you as a player more. And so I've started the year by revamping our Magic webpage. Josh did all the hard work of that, and I took all the brainstorming from John, from Kyle Rehome, from a dozen other, Mitch Janowick, you know, all kinds of other people have been involved. I mean, some of the ideas go back to Brian Hellebang and Alex Rivard and things like that. But what I'm trying to do is plan a whole season at a time for Magic. So, you know, I don't know what your favorite format is right now, Brad, but whatever it is, the whole schedule is out there from now till April. You want to know when the biggest modern event we're going to run is? It's April 12th. You know, it's already there. You can sign up and pay for it right now, you know. There's a new player program we're kicking off. I'm trying to marriage those things together, like I was saying at the beginning, and to do it farther in advance, right? So I don't know if you followed any of that stuff when we were doing it, but that's what we're working on. So
yeah, I mean, your Magic especially just seems to be one of those things that's far behind the curve for how even WotC themselves announces things. WotC finally realized that they've gone down to the, what is it, twice a year they do announcement day for their upcoming products. But, you know, comic books have their big cons where they announce upcoming projects. We could probably blame Kickstarter for board games, people knowing about a board game a year and a half before they're ever going to have it in their hands, because they need to know demand before they do their print run and then shipping logistics. But, like, Magic the Gathering really doesn't have that set up. It's like, well, we got a couple formats. You'll probably see them throughout the year. We can't really guarantee you when it is. I don't know if Mythic Championship's trying to fix that, where you know if, like, you know, the March Mythic Championship is going to be a set thing for, like, every March when a Mythic Champion happens, that's what it's going to be. You know, that is something that I think Magic could try to get behind to help their crowd understand it, rather than willy-nilly picking, you know, three Mythic Championships in advance and be like, well, this is what that one will be.
And there, I agree with you. There is some of it, but it also often feels erratic. Like one year they're not going to announce all the sets that are coming up in advance. The next year they are. One year they're going to be Mythic Championships. One year it's going to be the Pro Tour. Now it's the Players Tour. You know, there's just a lot of evolution that happens really fast. So, but the one thing that I think is consistent is that they really have gotten pretty good at promoting things in terms of a season. You know, like Theros is a 13-week season. So that's the first thing I'm trying to latch onto. So, I mean, mainly, like, I just want to run stuff people want to do and try to give them as much value in the event itself. It's a weird time, too, for Magic. We've gone through these eras where we've had somebody who's been the F&M guy every week, you know, whether it was Brian or Rivard or whatever, you know. And so, you know, but, I mean, that shows you that Paradox goes on beyond those things, that Magic goes on beyond those things, that, you know, everything happens, you know, and keeps happening, and I don't know, you know. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a year for Magic leading up to, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's already on people's radar, I mean, the fall you've got Zendikar, another Zendikar set, which will be the talk of the year until we see what it is, you know. And then after that, a Commander draft set. I mean, that strikes me as the and since it's such an unknown, that's just going to get buzz all year long. Like, what is it? What's going to be in it? How do you do it? You know, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems like it's taken them a while since it was the 2011. 2010 was the first Commander product when they tried to
2013. No.
Feels like it was a long time ago. I couldn't.
It was. It was not 2011, though. But 2013 was Modern Masters. It was after that was the first Commander sets, I think. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
But, I mean, it's, now they're finding that format and they're focusing on it, because this is going to be the, not that it's going to be the main focus of their year, but there's going to be way more Commander product printed by Wizards of the Coast this year than in probably the last three combined.
Yeah, I mean, they know that physical Magic has shifted heavily towards Commander as being the most played thing. Which is kind of funny, because then they say that, and they say things like, well, you know, the casual is what we want, but then they orient all their online stuff towards competitive play. So it just seems like a bit of a mixed message. It's like, well, we're taking all the competitive play over here, so we're going to tell you anyway, that's a whole other thing. So I'm excited about the year, though. I think that there are just, whether it's the Mystery Booster weekend, whether it's Zendikar, whether it's the Commander products, like, There's just a ton of cool stuff in 2020 coming out. So, Darren, comics. I mean, comics are always hard. You know, we're coming off of some endings. Like, Doomsday Clock was, you know, 2 years in a row and things like that. But we've got a lot of beginnings, like House of X and Powers of Ten, you know. Yeah. And, I mean, what are you looking forward to in the new year in the broader sense or anything specific? So,
well, specific titles... they announced this a couple of weeks ago, was Firepower by Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee. The interesting thing about this, and it hasn't been confirmed, but the first issue is the free comic book, and I'm assuming that is the first issue rather than a reprint of the first issue.
I think that too. It just feels like a Kirkman thing to do, you know, because he's done so many clever and innovative things. So yeah, what if you can get Walking Dead, the next Walking Dead number one, like for free on free comic book day? I mean, that's awesome.
It is pretty cool. So that was announced a couple of weeks ago. Last week, I mean, I'm looking at the previews for Remarch. So everyone, you know, Hickman, we talked about Hickman in the 2019 review. But he has actually got a new Image comic book coming out as well called Decorum. I don't know too much about it. It's illustrated by Mike Huddleston. It's called Decorum, and it's described as something like assassins, well-mannered assassins. So, you know.
He's like, there's lots of assassins, but this one's like the well-mannered
one. Yeah.
You know?
and the preview pages I've seen just look wonderful. And in knowing that Hickman is such a good writer, I mean, the pages I've seen don't have any words on them, so, you know, I just know this is going to be a quality book. Because you can have a beautiful looking book with not a very good writer, but this is a beautiful looking book with a fantastic writer. So I'm really excited. When this was announced and I saw it, everything else that I was excited for 2020 kind of just went to the back a little bit, and this went just right to the front, right to the top. So
there'll be so much we don't know about. Yeah. I mean, the X-Men story is going to continue to evolve. Yeah. It sounds like he's got, you know, Hickman's got plans for 2 or 3
yeah.
years of where
yeah.
the story is going.
Much longer than we first thought when it was announced that he
yeah.
would be on there. So,
but I think another thing is if you're not following all the pieces of what Donnie Cates is doing at Marvel, you know, he's telling this gigantic story as well. In different little parts. He's been telling it in Venom, which led up to Absolute Carnage. He's been telling it in Silver Surfer Black. Now he's telling it in Thor.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that he did at Marvel where he didn't tell it was Guardians of the Galaxy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's weird. That book, it feels like the only miss he's really had at Marvel to me, you know?
Yeah.
Not that it was terrible, but it was, you know, just not... and so we're building to something, you know, to... Like, everybody versus Null, the symbiote god, you know, is what it seems very clear. But when that's going to happen, is that going to happen in 2020, or are there just going to be more pieces laid on, you know?
Well, that's kind of exciting. After reading, because I had read Thor number one, and I could see the connection, and it was quite a revelation, really.
That
there was a connection, so I really enjoyed it for that.
You know, the last thing about that, we're going to go to board games, but, like, Thor number one, I thought it was awesome. I really enjoyed that comic. And the last page had I call it now the trademark shocking last page by Donnie Cates.
Sure.
Right?
But
at the same time, you know, you pulled me back a little bit, and we did realize, like, the problem is it's already been done a couple of times now to have that shocking last page.
Yeah.
So there's no way that this one will be as captivating to people as a couple of the other ones have been. So not there's anything wrong with
still
it.
Still gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's just that we kind of know that happens
now.
But that book totally surprised me. We already revamped who we even filed it to for customers
as
a result of us getting to read it. Which, by the way, that's a thing we want in 2020 is more information early so we can, as a store, react to it. So,
I mean, I was thinking, and this is slightly off topic, but we got the books early last week and we filed them Friday for this Wednesday. I could spend my weekend reading the books without trying to cram read them Tuesday night or into Wednesday, and I felt much better about coming into the week trying to sell those books without, you know, just trying to gorge the content and rush into it, you know, because we had that time.
When we were able to fill 20 more customers.
Yes.
Worth of a product we know they're going to want after we read it.
Yeah.
And
we could think a little bit more about what we were doing rather than just having to just react to what came in and get it rush, get it done.
Yep.
You know, that was just, I mean, it's not going to happen, but it was kind of cool.
And I mean, PDFs are cool,
but
I mean, having it in your hand changes everything.
It does.
Because you don't know what the paper quality is going to be, the cover stock, the, you know, there's just something about the experience of it in your possession that changes.
Totally.
Yeah, so. So let's go back to board games and, like, so we talked about events.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have specific board games that we're looking forward to?
Well, I think one game that's not slated to come out in 2020, but the Kickstarter is coming in March, is for Frosthaven. And I think that's something that we're all looking forward to. Frosthaven, for those of you who haven't put it together or aren't familiar with Gloomhaven, it is a standalone expansion for Gloomhaven. Gloomhaven has been a huge hit. It came out, was it 2017? I think
I think so, yeah.
Actually was released.
Yep.
Since then, it has been it has maintained a very high spot on a lot of lists and in a lot of people's gaming groups. And just recently announced the Frosthaven, which, as I said, is looking like it's going to be a standalone adventure, but completely compatible with Gloomhaven, so you can play the other characters and classes and things within it. But it will have a whole new campaign, more map tiles, more classes, more races, more monsters, more of everything. So considering how big Gloomhaven was, I'm expecting Frosthaven to also be quite big.
Does that mean it's going to be a $300 box?
I don't think it's going to be a $300 box. They'll probably keep it around, I'm assuming from what I've read, it's going to be around the same cost as the original Gloomhaven. It's possible, too, that there will be like the full box that has all the counters and things like that that you have in Gloomhaven, and then they might just have the expansion version of it so that you don't have to rebuy all of those things that you have. You don't have to pay for the damage counters and the stands and things like that that you really don't need if you already have them.
That'd be an interesting, not many have used that model before, have they? Where it's like if you have base game X, all the components are usable, so you don't need to buy the full, nobody else has done that, have they?
Well, there have been standalone expansions, for sure.
Yeah, but if you have all your damage counters, you don't need another game that has all your damage counters. So you're selling them a lot less product because they can use what they already have,
right,
since it's in the same universe. But have there been expansions like that from anybody else you can think of?
Not that I can think of.
So, they might be changing the industry.
But this is something that is much more possible with Kickstarter than without. Because with Kickstarter, you can have that, and you can even say it's a stretch goal. Or something to that degree. It'd probably just be a different pledge level. I think that, that is something that's fairly, because, most of the time when game companies are creating the games, the expansions and things, it's not cost effective to have to create two different boxes and have two different manuals, because most of the time the manuals will say what counters and components are in there. So there are a number of things that, and I'm sure getting it produced, even though it's the same pieces, I guess I really don't know for sure how that works. If I say here's the cardboard that I want, print it, punch it, here are all the monster tokens, everyone needs those. Here are the damage tokens, I want 100,000 fewer of these sheets.
Sure.
I'm not sure how all that plays out. So, obviously, we'll see, when the Kickstarter actually comes. A lot of that's just kind of rumors at this point, at least from what I've read, or at least what people want to see.
Okay.
That's
something I guess I've never heard of, is Kickstarter speculation before.
Right?
Welcome
to 2020.
I
guess.
We've got a couple of Kickstarters going. We did the retailer Kickstarter for Terraforming Mars Turmoil Edition. And we were a little, Josh had to convince me to do it, And so we only did 6 copies, right? Mm-hmm. But they're all gone. We sold them all immediately, but they didn't even hit the shelf,
We didn't sell them immediately. I put up the pre-order thing.
I should say upon them actually coming out. You're right.
Once people realized they didn't get the Kickstarter and that they were available someplace, then suddenly
they wanted them, and they're like $60 or $70 on eBay, and we're $34.99, and there's all kinds of reasons for it. That's true, but it did, it's an interesting problem because it illustrates that the right thing that has some scarcity or demand at the right price, we could have sold a lot more than what we brought in. But you can't just do every one, hoping for the ones that work making up for the rest of them. It's so I don't know exactly how to do that. But I mean, we had people from all over the country reach out to us. So I mean, this sounds stupid to say that Google works, but I mean, Google works. You know, like, yeah. Like we had the thing, but I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that our site would ever get found. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah. Or we'd be so far down on a Google search on the, you know, that no mm-hmm. one would ever click on our page. You know, yeah. So I mean, that it's interesting, is all right.
Well, it definitely is, because that's something that back towards the beginning of 2019, we started looking into was, let's find some interesting Kickstarters, let's put them out there as pre-order. If we don't get enough pre-orders by this date, we just don't do it, so there's no risk on our part. And then there were a few of them where we just said, well, we should do this. One, the first one we did was Blood on the Clock Tower, which is another one coming out in 2020 that I'm pretty excited about. And the reason I think that I pushed for us to do that was because their retailer pledge level was so good. You know, good price on the copies. We only had to get like four, I think, to qualify for it. But the big thing that got me was they're like, hey, get at least four copies. You get them at this price. We'll throw in a demo copy for your store so that you can host game nights and do events with this. And that'll help you sell the copies. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Why doesn't everybody do that? Because that gets you out more places. And, you know, so we did that one. And we have had some response on that.
Yep.
And then there were a couple of these expansions, like Turmoil for Terraforming Mars. And there was Manhattan Project Energy Empire, one that we also just went ahead and got, I think, like six copies. That should be coming sometime soon as well. Because that's a game that we know has done well, and we feel like we could move at least a few copies of that expansion to make it worth our while.
I mean, there's so many factors in it. Like, take Frosthaven. Mm-hmm. It will depend on what is the retailer version or mm-hmm. level versus buy direct version mm-hmm. versus the one that ends up in regular distribution. You know, mm-hmm. is there a retail level? Like, so on and so right. forth. You know, like. Who knows? But and then the other question is it, you know, can we go out there as a store and say, look, you know, like, we're going to do this retailer one, but then we need you to support us. You know, we need mm-hmm. you to there's a way for you to buy from Paradox through Kickstarter rather than having to buy from Kickstarter and not from Paradox. And we know that there are a lot of people who would prefer to be loyal and do that. But then, you know, they're going to have a choice to make, because it could be that the one that they want to buy has cool direct stuff that we are not going to have, even if we have cool direct stuff also, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's so many factors in there.
Yeah, it's definitely it's something that we would love to do more of if we can gauge or mitigate the risk, I guess, yep. is the big thing. Like, I would love to say that, you know, Paradox is just doing so great, we're just going to get everything, and then, you know, some of them will be good and some won't, and, you know, but we can't. And so, you know, something like Frosthaven, we're definitely going to look into, as long as there's a retailer pledge level, we'll see
we're
what
do
we
it.
Can get.
Yeah, yep.
Because with something like that, there are going to be people who either didn't catch the Kickstarter or weren't able to pledge during the Kickstarter, and they're going to be looking for a copy. And the only other copies they're going to find are the ones that have the price marked way up on eBay. And if we're still offering them, I don't know, maybe we'll mark up the price too.
Yes.
That's how we're feeling at the time. So. No, but
did Rich get drunk last night? No, yeah. No. But that's that. Even I mean, yeah. I mean, there's more interesting things there to think about in the equation. So, because like we 2 years ago we backed a Dark Souls, a whole bunch of Dark Souls mm-hmm. expansions. Well, the third wave just came out last week. I probably paid for these 2 years ago. You know what? Like, I can't find the original pledge. I have no idea what I paid for them. I don't have anybody to sell them to now. You know, like, they were hot when we got them, and we sold yeah. everything, and that was great. But we got money invested in these, and they came out, like, infinitely too late for anyone to care. You know, so, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So there are all kinds of traps that can happen here, so...
Mm-hmm. But yeah, hopefully, you know, those of you listening or watching, if you are interested in Kickstarters, you know, let us know if there are any that you have on your radar, and if it's something that we might be able to do through the store if you're interested in going through us. Because we try to offer something, you know, for getting it through Paradox, whether it's a slight discount, not having to pay for shipping, or just the safety knowing that it will be delivered to
a place.
It'll be
delivered here, and you don't have to worry about that stuff.
It won't get stolen off your doorstep.
Yep.
You know, we want there to be value in it other than just supporting us, although that's a good reason too, hopefully.
Well, it is, but it's only one reason, and I'm not a big fan of Shop Local. We've got to give you the service you want, and whether we did it before doesn't matter. We've got to find a new way to do it because the world has changed, and that's just the way it is.
So,
Aaron Swartz, to your conversation with Brad, pointed out Time Stories and Dominion when you guys were talking about.
Where they do have different ones where if I already.
Well,
have
he was talking about like where a standalone expansion that's a full base game would come with the complete game, but also just the expansion version of it.
Right, so it didn't include the pieces that you need.
Sure.
Dominion does that like every time, basically, right?
No, they only release one copy of the expansion.
Right, so you can't get Dominion Seaside with all of the cards in it. Or Intrigue's a better, because that one's a standalone.
Intrigue, yeah, perfect, yep.
But I don't know, was that part of that discussion, or are there more Time Stories... or Time Stories expansion, Dominion expansion coming out in 2020, and that's what Aaron's looking forward to.
Maybe. I hope there's more Dominion expansions, because I'm down to only two Dominion expansions I've ever played because we didn't make it at the Bachelor Party.
Yep.
So. okay. I mean, I think Frosthaven is definitely a big one on the radar, for sure.
I'm going to throw in one more, because we're down to about 15 minutes before we want to stop, and I think I don't want to go on a whole other board game tangent, but I will say that the Spirit Island expansion, Jagged Earth, is set to come out in May of this year. At least the Kickstarter will come out then, and I believe the retail one should come out the same time because it's all there isn't any exclusive stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you already knew there was a Kickstarter, we're going to kickstart this in May. And I'm like, dear God, these companies are planning far out in advance. I misunderstood you a little bit.
No, the Kickstarter's already happened. It's going through.
Okay. You believe shipping's going to happen.
They projected May, and they're hoping to actually get it out sooner. It just depends on when all the art assets get finished.
Sure.
So that, of course, I'm looking forward to. Very excited to have the actual version in my hands. So there you go. Those are my board game things. Pass it on to... Whomever else.
Pivoting back to comics, I have a couple more, because your Free Comic Book Day firepower, number one, made me think of something, too. There is, and I'm sorry, I don't know which of these is out exactly, but Jeffrey Brown has been doing his Star Wars books.
Yeah.
And is Rey and Pals, is that already out? Or because that's the Free Comic Book Day book from somebody, is Rey and Pals.
It'll be IDW, if it's the kitty stuff.
Yeah, God, is this the previews where we have to order Free Comic Book Day stuff? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Anyway, that's a problem for later in the month. But the other thing is Jeffrey Brown has got an original graphic novel that I'm really... And I want the store... Actually, this is a book that... I was looking for an anchor, and I feel like this could be one for us to really try to pivot into more YA.
Only a matter of space time.
Yep. And it comes out June 2nd, I think. I think that's a book we should look at we have a lot more books, but I mean, and we sell a lot of stuff, but I mean to do an event with and to bring it more like what I was saying at the beginning of marrying our philosophy and our actions together more. You know, it's one thing to have the shelf and to say we believe in this stuff. It's another thing to act on that, you know? So I think those were just books I wanted to point out.
Sure. I mean, that's funny because it ties into one of the things I just wanted to mention was this is by Random House. And 2020 is the year that Random House started publishing their YA all ages books. And they look pretty cool. They've curated some great titles. I think the production value is going to be high.
What was it? The top 10 selling graphic novels of 2019 were all YA, weren't they? I mean, it was seven of the Dylan Dogs, and then the girl who wrote Smile.
Yeah, Goats will be one of them by Raina Telgemeier.
I think she had three. She got the other three. I think it was
So that's exciting stuff, and I'm happy we're dedicating space to it.
I just wonder if, you know, because of the Jeffrey Brown name.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's also a little more connected to comic shops, like, because, like, mm-hmm. sometimes we're a little out of the...
Yeah, no, I get that. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know, and I feel like that yeah, so, I don't know, that was a book that I was interested in, and you know, I don't know if you've picked out anything else while we were...
Well, I was just... The new Tom King book, Strange Adventures.
Oh, yeah.
And it's illustrated by Mitch Gerard and Doc Shanna, so I'm not sure how that's going to work, because they've got very different styles. The cover to preview shows like a split image with Mitch Gerard's kind of grungy illustration, more with Doc Shanna's more clean illustrations as well, so almost like a dual personality.
It makes me think of Miracle Man, like good old Alan Moore.
Yeah.
You know, because there was the fantasy world and the real world were so distinct in their styles. I don't know if you read Miracle Man, but that's
not really. I didn't, but I've listened to podcasts and videos about it, so sure. I know more about it through that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of Tom King's career. I mean, would you... Hey, do you want to miss the next Mr. Miracle number one?
Yeah,
you
know,
do
you want to... When Mr. Miracle came out, you were like, you missed Sheriff of Babylon?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yep. I mean, I think people know now. Yeah, it's built in a way that we, you know, we put it on the shelf with Tom King's name, it'll have buzz, and, you know. The only weird thing was the... you know, I don't know if he'll have an image problem, small... Fine, not capital, because of, you know, there's a lot of hate towards the Batman book, you know,
mm-hmm.
or there's the fact that Heroes in Crisis, I don't think entirely through the creative team's fault, you know, ended up being the book that they wanted it to be. So there is some potential that his momentum has slowed down. Like, I'm the opposite. I loved his Batman one. I think people miss the point, and I hope that over time that you know, the perception of that book changes. Yeah. But at the same time, it might affect the kickoff to that book more than we think.
So, I mean, I would say this is where he's going to shine.
Yeah.
If he struggled with certain books, or like the Heroes in Crisis, for whatever reason, this is where he'll shine again.
Yep. No, I agree. I think this feels like something that's been worked on for a long time. Yeah. That he's doing. Yeah. Whereas Heroes in Crisis, maybe you could feel something was wrong there.
Yeah,
you know?
I felt that from the first two issues. This was not. I said this to you. This was not what he described in when it was announced, and I felt there would have been some kind of. Something had shifted in editorial or from higher powers, you know.
Yep.
I could be wrong, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, I would say in 2020 for comics, the things that I look forward to, I mean, Free Comic Book Day always, where are the X-Men going? But I think more expansion on what's been started by Boom and others, more returnability. Can Paradox do some shifting to more YA-centric even events? We've done stuff before with limited results.
Yeah.
So and there's no really reason to go backwards and try the same things that didn't work before. So is there something different that we can do to get that marriage to happen? And then I'd say the other thing is, unlike Batman number 50, that marriage to happen?
Sure.
Yeah, yep. So.
Well, we got it.
I had to explain it. Oh, that was terrible. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to do more conventions than we've done. That's we haven't done conventions for a long time, but you and Eric, especially, we're going to really try to push back issues. Yeah. And we have a ton of back issues already in the store. We have collections waiting to be bought. We have, you know, and so on and so forth. But we're going to go to the convention in Minneapolis in May called Spring Con. We're going to stay in Fargo this year for FM Comic Con instead of going to Portland for Comics Pro. Still like 10% on the fence, but I think that's what we're going to do.
I'm keeping an open mind, Rich, on whatever you decide to do.
Yeah. I'm going to send Josh to Gen Con. Man,
I'm going to send Josh to Gen... Wait. What? I agree to everything right now. No. So I think it's going to be an exciting year in comics, and it sounds like I mean, board games, I mean, I think some of it is finding our identity again. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's when everyone sells board games and when they're, you know, 40% off on Amazon, or like there was a day Ticket to Ride was selling on Amazon below my cost. You know, and I think Catan also. It's like, well, okay. I mean, you know,
yeah.
right? Like, there's literally nothing I can do about that, right? And like,
unless you want to lose money.
That's, unless I want to lose money,
you
right?
Do
like,
that.
Yes, I could do that.
You
right?
Just give them out for free.
yeah.
Ooh,
so
people would love you.
Yeah, and I mean, there's an awesomeness to that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there was a time when Paradox was like the place to buy board games. And, I mean, I think a lot of people still really like and love and respect Paradox for what we do and have done. It's just things have evolved, and things should evolve. Nothing mm-hmm. should be exactly the same. The negative thing for Paradox is that retailer model has broken down. But on the other hand, the positive thing is that customers are more independent and have more power than they ever have. And that is the situation that should exist. I, as a customer, mm-hmm. want that power, right? So I'm not going to say I don't want it for every other customer. It doesn't make any sense, right? So now, I mean, maybe we can find more balance if we get the Kickstarters or things like that. I mean, because like sometimes as the owner of the store, you can sit there and you can say, "Oh, people don't have any loyalty anymore." Things like that. Well, that, I mean, that's bull crap. You know, it's that we have. It's the world is different. We have more options than we ever had. You know, mm-hmm. but we're also part of like we're still part of. One of the biggest pop culture movements we've ever seen when it comes to board gaming, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Brad, I don't know. Do you board game as much as you have? I mean, well, that's not fair. Things have happened in your board game group, unfortunately,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we try. There's, you know, we follow Kickstarter stuff, too. I think a gentleman that has, I think, captured the quick replayable game and probably could easily replace Cards Against Humanity would be anything coming out from the Oatmeal or the Exploding Kittens team. They all always seem like they're well thought out and engaging games. His most recent one, Throw Burrito, is, you know, a matching card game and dodgeball, and it's dumb and it's hilarious. And I think, you know, we're getting to a point where board games are, you know, it's a comedy of errors and wealths, because everything is good that's coming out, and how do you play everything? Mm-hmm. You know, much like the comic industry, you can't read everything unless you know you're making high six figures. You can't play every board game unless you're making high seven figures, because board games ain't cheap. And they're coming out way more frequently than even, you know, 5 years ago, where, you know, Paradox would have a couple, you know, two, three new board game releases a month that did well, because you get five copies in, and it's like, if there were games that people are demanding, you'd probably have two to three games that are coming out every week from different distributors, because Asmodee now owns everything. They're the Disney of board games.
When is the Asmodee Plus service coming out? That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah. Ooh,
only available at Essen.
Right. Well, we're down to about our last 5 minutes here. We want to try and wrap up. Is there anything else that we've missed that people want to throw into the mix?
Is there a big pop culture thing that we're forgetting? Is it like...
The only thing I can think of is it feels like it's going to be the spring of female movies. You're going to have Disney's Mulan in March, Black Widow in early May, and then Wonder Woman in mid-June.
Sure.
And it just feels like that, you know, first time you're going to have that loaded of lead female characters in... You know, I guess I don't know what category Mulan falls into. It's got a very nostalgic place in my heart, because that was one of my favorite Disney films of the 90s. And I think that's going to draw on a lot of people. So
I'm excited for Mulan, because it's the first one of these Disney animated to live action movies that they're doing something different with.
Yeah.
Like, they're keeping the spirit of the movie, you know, but they're adding to it, they're changing it. I think that's more valuable than going to see the National Geographic version of the Lion King, you know.
Yep.
It's,
even though it still qualifies as animated.
Yeah, I know.
Which is bizarre, but yes, I know what you're saying.
It's real.
Aladdin was the first one that I saw of all the live action remakes, and it's like, once I was there, I could have skipped this. This was the animated film. They didn't try. They didn't challenge themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing about 2020 is 2019, to some degree, was the year that everything ended, right? Like Game of Thrones and Star mm-hmm. Wars and you know, and Endgame and so on and so forth. So we're in a bit of a wheel-turning spot where the next thing's got to start. And it will, because it has
the
before.
Wheel of Time,
you know, like, it has before, it will again, you know. But, I don't know, it'll be interesting, you know, like, Black Widow will be interesting. What kind of box office mm-hmm. will that movie get at the beginning of May versus, I mean, it probably won't, I mean, like, they can't be expecting it to get Endgame and Infinity War money,
no.
right? But is it going to be...
It's better than Ant-Man and the Wasp, right? I mean, it's... They're going to shoot for
probably. I mean, I would
just under a billion rather than be happy with 500.
An Avenger with an established history.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's like she's not been. She hasn't had her own film, but she's been in how many at this point? Ridiculous amount.
I do think they need a better trailer than they have so far, but it's probably
you're telling me you're not going to go just to see David Hooper friggin' swing around his Russian shield? Like I'm in for that. It's like I don't care that there's Black Widows in this. The fat man with the shield. Yes,
I'm 100%.
They represented me with four in Endgame, and now I'm going to have more opportunities with Captain Charisma.
But I'll more go. I'll wait till the next week and go on the $5 night or whatever.
Sure.
Like versus opening. Well, I didn't even go to Star Wars opening night. So again, I'm not in the 18 to 35 audience that they make movies for anymore, or whatever the demos are now. You know, so.
So I'm going to throw in, because I forgot, there are a couple more board game-related events here that I'm planning to do in 2020 that I'm very excited about. Both of them are Arkham Horror-related. There is the Gen Con scenario, The Blob That Ate Everything, will be released wide in wide distribution sometime soon, I believe. And I'm absolutely going to put together a massive multiplayer event for that.
Who you know when we're doing that, don't you?
Hopefully in April, if it lines up.
If that all lines up, my goal for the April game day is to be called April Ghouls Day, and to focus on all the Arkham and Elrich stuff. So Eldritch stuff. That's my point.
Which I think it's a wonderful, balancing piece to the whole Cadbury cream egg, Cadbury scream egg thing. It's normally October and April. All right, so there's that, and then they're also going to release again, hopefully sometime soon. Here we don't have exact release dates, but in 2020 there's going to be a standalone scenario called it's Barkham Horror, which was an April Fool's joke this last year that apparently people got very excited about. So excited that they're making this parody scenario where you are playing, like, the investigators are dogs, with wonderful puns for the names, like Wagatha Dane and stuff like that. That's gotten a little bit of buzz about it, so I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with that. In a perfect world, that would be coming out in January, so we could line that up with D&D for Dogs.
Yeah.
But I'm going to figure out something for that as well. So there you go.
And then, like, in mid-February, we have the release of Monster Madness, which is the sequel to Dungeon Mayhem. And in Monster Madness, you get to play one of the classic D&D monsters and fight the rest of the classic D&D monsters.
I love the artwork for the gelatinous cube. I think it's hilariously, like, so derpy looking. It's great.
And speaking of events, we have an event for that called Mayhem and Madness. So mm-hmm. you pay $5 a person, or we have a deal if you bring the whole family, and you'll just sit at tables and play either Monster Madness or Dungeon Mayhem. And rinse, repeat for about 3 hours, and then we're going to give away copies of Monster Mayhem at the end based on how many people we had come play. So,
lots of good stuff, so definitely check out the event calendar at ParadoxCNC.com. Are there any last takers before I go through the rest of the sign-off spiel? I think we're good for now.
I'm looking forward to hear what's coming for D&D in 2020.
They haven't announced anything.
As we don't know a lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, the anticipation of finding out what's coming is something to look forward to in 2020. But yes, ParadoxCNC.com. We have a great events calendar on there, blogs and other great information. You can also find us on Facebook at ParadoxCNC, on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram. And, of course, we're right where we've always been, at 26 Robert Street in Fargo, North Dakota. So stop on by the store.
you know, so last year, 2 years ago was 25th anniversary. Last year was 26 years at 26 Robert Street. But it occurs to me that, you know, way back when in 1939, in Detective Comics number 27 was the first appearance of Batman. So it's very possible that the first 26 years of Paradox didn't even matter because Batman's about to, you know, or the equivalent of Batman is about to make his debut in the 27th year of our business.
There you go. So,
be ready.
We'll hire somebody that will...
Yeah, I don't know, right?
There's going to be some kind of character that will show up on
stream
or something.
It's like the third year in a row we can play off of something, so we got to do it for the anniversary, but I don't have an idea yet, because like, when you get to 28, that means nothing, right?
Whenever
like,
I think of 27, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Lisa is thinking about math and all this stuff, and so like all these numbers are appearing there. It's like saying these puns to like encourage her or whatever, and then just the number 27 comes up and goes 27 because there's nothing with it's just the most random thing. So there you go, that's my contribution.
But 28 29 I got nothing. 30, you know, is obviously another benchmark, right? But so yeah, so I don't know,
just wait for year 51.
Yeah, nice. So I don't even want to be that. I mean, oh, sorry.
All right, folks.
Don't record that.
Thank you for tuning in, whether you caught us live or later on the website. We are going to get back into the habit of recording these DoxCasts, so look forward to seeing that, recording in a block once a month or so, and releasing them weekly thereafter. Rich, you took it.
I wanted to say that up front, and I totally forgot. But yeah, like, you know, DoxCast has been around since 2011, and we're on episode 285 to 290. I'm not quite sure.
Somewhere,
you know, and so that means there have been breaks before, because if you think 52 times 8 years, that's 400 and something. But, you know, like, so, you know, just if we take a break for a while, don't worry. Don't panic, you know, or whatever. Well, I don't think anyone's. Oh, no, the DoxCast.
But, what does that mean? Is this milk still good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, we intend to keep things going. We along the lines of me saying earlier, we need to merge our ideas and our actions together more. I mean, I think the same is true in our content. We've set up the streaming room to do something different, and we just haven't really done it yet, which is, you know, I mean, whatever, right? So hopefully we will finally materialize these things that are floating around out there. So
yeah.
There you go.
All right. So thanks again, everybody. We will see you on the next DoxCast. All right, and that's it for tonight. Again, a big thank you to everybody who came and hung out with us and chatted in the chat. It's fantastic to get to interact with you all.
Well, shout out to Aaron Sparks, who started a watch party on Facebook, actually. So thanks a lot, Aaron. That was excellent. Awesome.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to cut off the stream for now so we can close everything down and get home because it's getting late.
Yep, time to
turn into pumpkins. And so, good night.
Do you want to say goodbye?
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, be gone.